This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 28th, episode 1727, brought to you today, oh no, it's going to cost me money, by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Everybody up, rise and shine, it's a new day.
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
Oh, and away we go.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning. It's the big year for Man of War. It's his 100th birthday this year. And of course, the Kentucky Horse Park and Root and Riddle and everybody in Lexington has been celebrating the Man of War birthday. And now, right now, this is the coolest thing. The Kentucky Horse Park and Root and Riddle Equine Hospital are sponsoring a Man of War contest this summer. And what they want It's a look-alike contest. If your horse closely resembles Man of War, you know how there's impersonators for Dolly Parton and for Elvis? Well, If you have a Man of War impersonator, you could win a prize. So what they want you to do is take a photo that's kind of like the iconic Man of War photo where he's standing there kind of looking a little bit toward the camera from the side. And Jennifer will post that picture on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page and the link to how to do this. But if you have a horse, now, this is what they're looking for. They said it doesn't have to be a stallion. It can be actually a gelding or a mare or any breed. It just has to bear some resemblance to Big Red. And of course, Big Red was named Big Red because he was red. So they really would kind of like it if you submitted one that had a red coat. And apparently he was often described as being tinged with a golden hue. That was the money he won, I think. And stood about 16 and a half hands to 17 hands. And he was real, he was real sturdy and wide chested and kind of chunky looking.
He's a big stallion.
Yeah. And he had a little bit of a Roman nose too, which was unusual for thoroughbreds. Maybe not in that day, but for today.
I could paint Thor chestnut for a day.
Yeah, kind of. He kind of has that look, actually.
That's the thing is, like, basically just any chestnut horse with no white socks and a star.
Right.
And go ahead and take a picture of him in this pose. Like, I was thinking, okay, Joey, who lives here, he's a thoroughbred, and he's actually somewhere a long time ago a descendant of Man of War, and he has no white, and he's got a star. Of course, he's about as skinny as a fence post, and but camera angles can be majestic, you know?
Well, you know how we had early Elvis and then fat Elvis? This is just early Man of War.
Early Man of War. And then I started thinking, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a beautiful liver, because he was almost a liver chestnut with a star and not a lick of white. And talk about early Man of War, let's go with Baby Zara. Come on! How cute is that? I'm entering her.
Submit it. The link's too long for me to just read out here, so if Jennifer could post that over on Horses in the Morning Facebook
page. Basically, you send your picture to mymenofwarcontest@gmail.com by July 16th. Then what's the prize? What do you win?
Oh, the prize is winner will receive gift baskets from the Kentucky Horse Park and Root and Riddle.
Horsey swag.
Yeah, horsey swag and also medical swag. And the winning horse will be showcased when their photo is displayed on the Jumbotron at the Horse Park's Rolex Stadium before the $50,000 Root and Riddle Grand Prix July 29th.
I wonder if they'll have, like, you know, two winners. Because Joey could win, but then they have to put Baby Zara as, like, honorable mention.
We can go back to Baby Man of War. Skinny Man of War, Fat Man of War, and Baby Man of War. It's perfect.
I think it's genius. So we do need the current Man of War if anybody has one of those.
Yeah. Now, we've just changed the entire contest, but what the hell? It's what we do.
All right, that's really cool.
Jennifer,
really
what's cool. coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's HorseLovers.com Wednesday edition, Caroline and Justine from Heels Down Happy Hour are going to stop by for an uncharacteristic morning meet and greet. And then Jamie and Glenn are going to discuss an upcoming road trip. Auditor Anne Marie is going to come on with an update on her 50 States horse tour. And lapping one more time around the track, Swedish jockey Louise Pettersson is going to stop by and share her adventures riding in Sweden's biggest race day. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Hey, I got a fellow podcaster just texted me from, his name's Jason, and he does a lot of terrific podcasts, very well known, and he's in Germany right now listening to us live, and he's not a horse guy. So thank you for tuning in there, Jason.
He's bored.
He's bored, yeah. He's going, what the hell are they talking about? I don't know who Man of War is. All right, Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to my wife, Jennifer, and also the West Marion Hospital Quick Care Center, which I visited last night. So I was cutting up watermelon. I really like watermelon, but I really hate watermelon in slices, like attached to the rind. I actually cut it off the rind, and I cut it in strips so that you could pick it up and eat it easily. And we put it in this Tupperware container in the refrigerator. That's how I like it. Because if I have it attached to the rind, it's a mess. I just don't eat it as much. So I was cutting it up last night with my big old, very sharp knife and proceeded to cut right to the bone on my thumb. Very cool. That stuff happens so quickly. You know, you don't even realize you're doing it. And all of a sudden, thwack. And I went, oh, there's a lot of blood. And I looked down, and it didn't hurt because I think the knife is so sharp that it was a very clean cut.
Oh, gross.
Sorry about this, people. So I put a towel on it, and Jennifer's out tagging up her horse. And I know Jennifer's the doctor. We call her Nurse Jennifer because she knows how to fix all wounds.
Please tell me that she put some vet wrap on it and rode her horse and then took you to the hospital.
No, that actually, you're close. So
even better.
So she comes in and she says, oh, that's bleeding a lot. And we look at it. It's about a 2-inch cut across my thumb, but it was very clean cut. So she says, just hold it, squeeze it together. So I'm squeezing it together. And she goes, what did you put on it anyway? The doctor kept asking me and I didn't know either.
Cypic powder.
So that blood powder that stops things from bleeding. So she takes and dumps that on it, which actually stopped it from bleeding almost immediately.
Hurt like a hell, though, didn't it?
No, not at all. So she taped it up, of course, used the vet wrap and taped it up. And then I said, I was not in pain at all. So I said, she said, you probably should go in and get a couple stitches in it. Otherwise, it's going to be a mess. So we cleaned the blood up everywhere.
And then what did I do?
And then she went back out to ride her horse, and I drove myself to the hospital.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Well, you know, it's not like I couldn't drive, right? So I get there, and this is where I met West Marion Hospital, which is my second time there. I went there when I thought I was having a heart attack last year and spent a couple days there. This is the best hospital ever. I walk into their quick care center, which is like a mini ER in the hospital.
Oh, God, he's back.
Yeah.
Clear a room.
Well, you walk in, and now they have a kiosk. This is the coolest damn thing. You have a kiosk. You take your driver's license, and you put it on this little thing, and it scans your driver's license and brings up all your information.
That's scary.
And it was all there because I'd been there before, so everything was there. And they said, is this information correct? Yes. What are you here for? I put bleeding. So I just put bleeding because that was the only option that fit. And so I took bleeding, and I hit enter, and within... I didn't even have time to sit down. Within 10 seconds, the nurse came out and said, Glenn, come on back. And he took me to the room and he said, well, what's up? And I said, well, you know, watermelon. I said, I bet you get a lot of watermelon cuts. And he said, no, not really.
No. And Glenn, what I'm going to invest in, first of all, is I'm going to get you what they call a melon baller. And it's just a little scoop and you reach in. It's like a little ice cream scoop and you scoop the little melon out and then you push this button and it pops it out. So that's what I'm going to get at you for Christmas.
Well, there was a couple of people that posted that big cutter thing. Have you ever tried that?
Yeah, whatever. let me finish here because okay. I feel like when I saw this wrapped up hand on Facebook. And it's like, oh my gosh, Glenn hurt himself. And then I read the associated story and it's like, oh, I cut my hand cutting a watermelon. Like, come on, man, up. You've got to come up with something better than that.
I forgot, like, your motto the first day we did a show together. Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. And I think I forgot that.
Absolutely not. This is the prime example of that. So I've come up with a list of things that would be better than cutting your hand on a watermelon. And like, feel free to get as dramatic as you want. But listeners joined in on the auditor's page. I think it was just on your Facebook
page.
You
guys had a lot of fun at my expense last night, actually.
Yeah. So like Lindsay came up with, you saved a baby from a shark. Good one. Chantel said, you rescued a kitten from an alligator. Jessica came up with, you throat punched an alligator to save your wife and dog. Jill had a good one. I mean, as landlocked as you are, it could happen. Shark attack. Don't you remember?
Land, yeah,
shark.
The movie. Yeah, yeah.
Lisa Wysocki said that she's with me and that you have to be, like, she thinks, because she's an author, you were defending Scooter from space aliens when you jabbed your thumb at one of them and you received a laser burn.
That's a creative author right there.
Yep. Sharon said that, if it involved a knife, at least come up with a good Crocodile Dundee type story.
Have you looked at me? Do I look anything like Crocodile Dundee?
You could. You just got to own it. So here's the ones that I came up with, 1 through 5. And this is like from your perspective. And these are the things that I think you should test out, aside from all of those awesome suggestions. Glenn, what happened to your hand? Oh, save my wife from falling out of a moving vehicle as it was getting carjacked. Heroic.
That's pretty good.
Hey, Glenn, what happened to your hand? Oh, I stopped a knife attack. There was a senior citizen in the streets that was getting attacked, and I reached in and stopped it. Number 3, Glenn, what happened to your hand? I helped free a litter of puppies that was drowning. You know how people tie them in the bags? And like, I heard the barking and I looked down and I saw under the bridge this bag going by. And so I jumped into the water and I had to cut the bag open to save the puppies. And I cut my hand at the same time, but all the puppies are fine. Number 4, I cut my hand on the axe that I was using to chop down the front door of a burning school. And I saved all the children. Yeah, no, okay. And my final suggestion was, well, I stopped a bank robbery, but I cut my hand wrestling the guns out of the 1, 2, 3, 4 assailants that were involved.
Now, do any of these actually sound like anything I would actually do?
It doesn't matter. You gotta live the story, okay?
But see, so, if I actually tried to do any of these, I would end up dead. That'd be my.
Yeah, but what a way to go! Like, I mean,
I guess it beats cutting watermelon, right? That'd be on my tombstone. Yourself. Died cutting watermelon. Yeah, that's.
You know, you sacrificed yourself saving the bank from losing lots of money. Wait, no, that's not cool. Don't do that one. That's not, that's not good.
No, there's a few others there that are probably. I like the alien one. I liked Lisa's. That was a good one.
All right, my turn.
Anyway, my finger, for those that are still going, well, what happened to your finger? It's fine. And actually, it doesn't hurt at all. And this is the part where Jennifer gets an award. I get there and the doctor comes in within like 3 minutes. I'm telling you, this was the fastest ER experience I've ever had. In 3 minutes, the doctor's in, and he takes the bandage off, and both of them said, oh, she put powder on it. Good. And they looked at it, and it was completely healed over. The whole thing was healed over, and he looked at it. Now, it's all black from the powder, but he looked at it and said, wow, this is really good. I'm not going to disturb this. I'm just going to give you a tetanus shot and send you home. So no stitches. Way. He said, if I start to scrub this stuff off, it's going to open it up. It's going to be a mess. And he said, I'm going to have to put 4 or 5 stitches in it. And it's already like completely cauterized. He was amazed. He was like, wow. And all of a sudden, the powder story wasn't so bad. So he just cleaned it up a little bit, put the wrap on it, and sent me home. And that was it.
Boy, and that will be $700.
Oh, yeah, that was a $700 watermelon right there, I guarantee you. But it doesn't even hurt this morning. I guess the cut was really clean, and Jennifer did such a great job. so good
job. She just wanted to go ride. She was like, what do I have?
Her horse was standing out there with a saddle on. So during this whole thing. Anyway, so thumb is fine. Doesn't even hurt this morning. All good.
Now, watermelon, cut in half, get a like an ice cream scoop and just scoop little ice cream pieces out.
Okay.
Put toothpicks on them, eat them.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid the cutting at all. That was maybe I shouldn't even have knives in my hand.
Drop it off. My Daily Winnie goes out. Oh, you're going to play it, aren't you? My Daily Winnie goes, I feel like I've been talking about him a lot, out to Chili. I was going to give everybody a little more warning, but no.
I'm right on it today, boy.
Somebody just got bucked off. My Daily Winnie goes out to Dear Chili because I have Pink back at my house. And if you listened last week, Pink is now my horse. And I've actually ridden her a ton. And she's so good. And she's so easy. But I don't really need her until next spring as far as being a lesson horse. So I'm just riding her to get her in shape. And we decided to breed her again. So it was like, okay, let's see when she starts to come in heat. Well, of course, and how dare she? My veterinarian, who you guys know, Dr. Hendricks, has been on the show before. She went out of town. What the hell? How can you do that to me? She left on a vacation. Hello?
I know. What's wrong with her? So, veterinarian should never have vacation.
I mean, how dare her? So it has been left to me to see, and I got one of those like shots to get Pink to come into heat, and you know, you're supposed to kind of like notice when she comes in heat, and your vet's supposed to come out and ultrasound your horse, but I didn't want to use another vet. And so I just decided that I was going to tease Pink. And for those who don't know what a teaser is, at the big thoroughbred farms, they'll have a little pony stallion that are some type of horse that they can easily control, and they will with different ways at every barn, but say there's a whole barn full of broodmares. You take the teaser by every stall door and you kind of gauge the reaction of the mare. And either she's like, I'll kill you, or like, oh my gosh, hey, sweetie, even though he's like this tiny little pony. So you kind of gauge the reaction of the mare, and there's like a 1 through 4 scale of how the mare reacts to the teaser. And then you start to understand whether she's ready for breeding. So this is the way you don't just ultrasound horses willy-nilly at big breeding farms. So I'm like, well, I'm gonna have to tease her myself. I don't have a stallion to tease her. So who steps up to the plate? Dear sweet Chili, hit it.
But he's not a stallion, is he?
No, he is not a stallion. He is a crippled old ass gelding. But he just happens to really like the ladies. And he's one of the reasons
Casanova.
That I had that no. Yeah, he's total Casanova. He's one of the reasons I had the no mare policy, because I couldn't have mares around when I was teaching lessons on him because he was so distracted. Well, he's so crippled and he's so old now that he's like really not teaching any lessons. So I thought, let's see if he's still got it. So day one, I take Chili up to the mare, and he's like, he sees that I'm putting a halter on. I'm going to take him out of the stall and we're going to go somewhere. And he's like, where are we going, mama? I took his fly mask off. I kind of brushed him a little bit, give him a little romance. And so I lead him out of the stall up to Pink.
You put a little axe on him.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Little axe body spray.
Just like in high school.
I brushed his teeth. A little Kaluma in the ears, you know. And I walked him up to her, and he's like, hello. And she's like, I'll kill you. Get away from me. I hate you. I hate you. Get away. So poor
That's
Chili.
What always happened to me when I was dating.
Poor Chili, tail between his leg, saunters back to his stall. Day two. I get him back out. He's got the axe body spray. He's all like, looking good. He's got a tie on this time. I take him up to the stall, and he's like, hello. And she's like, hey, how's it going? And that was about it. That's about it. The hey, how's it going? So put him back to his stall. Day three. Take him out to the stall. Gates got his axe body spray on. He's got his bow tie. He's looking shiny. Day three, he walks up to Saul and he's like, how you doing? And she's like, hello. What's your name? And he's like, my name's Chili. And she's like, my name's Pink. What are you doing tonight? You want to hang out? And then take him back to stall. That's like on a scale of, it's been like a zero, then a two, and then a three. And then yesterday I tried it again and I've got him all shined up, you know, and take him out of his stall, fly mask off, walk him up there. And he's like, hello, how you doing? And she's like, take me now, big daddy. I will present myself through the stall. Do whatever you can. I will breathe you through the stall. Whatever you have to do, please take me. Take me to bed or lose me forever. And of course, poor Chili, he's like, I could actually get some. And I'm like, no, you can't, because you're gelding and you don't have that stuff. And so sadly,
poor Chili.
I did give him lots of treats.
Can I just say, every guy's been through that before, by the way. I'm just going to throw that out there, that we've all been in that Chili spot and had to go back by ourselves.
It's like you're like, I think she likes me. It's like when you go to a strip club and you pay a girl to give you a lap dance, you're like, oh my God, she really likes me. And I'm like, no.
No.
No, you're paying her. And he's like, no, she loves me. We're going to be together.
That's right.
And your friends pull you out of there like, no, I'm sorry. It's just not going
to
happen.
He went back to the stall and told all his little friends all about it and how cool she was and how she really wants him.
So, needless to say, Pink is a 4 out of 4. My veterinarian got in town last night. I ordered the stallion semen yesterday and it should be here this morning. I'm going at 9 o'clock to FedEx to pick it up and we're going to try it again.
Yay!
My vet, my farrier was out yesterday and I'm like, yeah, bring Pink tomorrow. And she goes, What? Double or nothing on a colt?
She knows you so well. Did she also buy a boat, knowing how many times she's going to be out? She's going to be able to bill you over the next 9 months.
She's just poor. I know Zeus isn't due for 3 weeks, but he's got a horse trial next week, so do him again. She's like, okay, whatever.
Oh, God, do you just make payments of $1,000 a month to your vet?
The veterinarian has my credit card number and my debit card number. And so I don't even see the bills anymore. She just runs it because if not, I forget to pay it. And then it gets crazy.
Yeah,
so I'm like, if it's like $200 to $300 a visit, I'm just like, just run it, you know. Like when Chili cut his leg open and tried to sever it about 6 months ago, that one I had to see ahead of time. that one hurt. That one was 2 months.
That's funny. Well, congratulations to Pink.
Now, I did send, when I ordered the semen from Edgar, it is Rubignon is going to be the baby daddy again. Same baby daddy as baby Zara. Rubignon is the stallion. And I did send a message to the stallion owner. I said, can you please take a picture of him before you collect him? You just take a picture of him from today and send it to me. So he sent a video and it's so cool. And it's him sauntering through the pasture. And
he's a little chunky.
Well, he's like 23, I think. So he's kind of older. And did you see the grass is up to his eyeballs?
I know. Our horses would love that grass.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And he's like, you can hear on the video, he's like, come on, buddy. Time to send some semen to Arizona.
No, where is he at again? So,
he's in Northern California.
Northern California. Okay.
Up by near Sacramento. So just absolutely beautiful. And people were asking, too, why I chose this stallion in the first place. Do you want me to go over that real quick?
Sure.
Because I don't know. Do we have time?
Yeah. We have about 5 minutes.
So, yeah. So Rubignon in the first place is kind of my idea was Pink the mare is a very accomplished show hunter and her grandfather won the Olympic Games for show jumping. So her lineage is all show jumpers and hunters, and Pink is laid back enough to be a hunter. She's not a jumper, but she also evented and took care of her old owner, who was an older amateur rider who's learning to event. So she's a fantastic temperament of a horse, and she's a caretaker, and she has this incredible jumper bloodline. So I thought, all right, I want a horse that can jump. Obviously, she's already got that in her blood. So let's breed her to like a Grand Prix dressage stallion. Let's pick the most amazing Grand Prix stallion. So I started looking and I really fell in love with this horse named Negro. And Negro happens to be the daddy of Vallegro. Oh. You can breed to the daddy of Vallegro. It's $2,000.
That's all?
That's it. But it's frozen and you get one straw.
And so guarantee.
No guarantee. It's $2,000 a straw and it's frozen. And my veterinarian doesn't do frozen. So I had to start looking for fresh. So Negro was out. That, and it was like a total gamble, weird. It was too much pressure. So fresh.
Because they locally can say, take it or leave it. We don't care.
Oh, yeah. They're like, here you go. Here it is. Bye.
Yeah. Don't talk to us again unless they win the Grand Prix.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let us know if he performs really well. So I went with I talked to my friend who is a dressage rider, and her coach is a very accomplished Grand Prix dressage rider who's been riding forever and breeds. So I took to her the bloodlines of pink, and then I said, give me a couple suggestions. And I sent off some suggestions and Rubignon was one of them. As far as like, but what bloodlines am I looking for that would match well with her? And she told me that the bloodlines of Rubenstein and Donner Hall would work. And she's ridden a lot of the babies of that and they are sound. You know, there's a problem with OCDs and different problems that can happen. And there's a horse named Riverman who, you know, the babies end up later in her experience. She's like, they just go crazy. They're just crazy. So they different horses had different characteristics. And I had liked Riverman. So I sent him, even though he's a jumper. Anyway, so I sent all these horses and she said, go with something Rubenstein and Donner Hall. And so Rubignon is the son of Rubenstein and the grandson of Donner Hall. So when I watched his videos, he had the trot that I really wanted, like lift, and he's a black stallion, and I'd love to have a big
and she black. Really wants a black colt.
I really want a black
that's colt. Forget everything else, how he moved, anything else. She's a 12-year-old that wants a black colt. That's what it comes down to.
Black stallion. So he will be gelded, of course. But anyway, yeah, so I kind of wanted that. So looking at that, it all made sense. It all kind of fit the bill. So that is why I chose him. I did have probably five stallions that I was looking at. And then to do it a second time, I picked him immediately because Zara is just so lovely. I mean, what a nice personality she has. You saw her, Glenn.
She is lovely. Yeah, she came right up to me and practically crawled in my lap.
Yeah. She loves people, but she's not like a jerk. She's not going to turn around and kick you. You know, she's very nice.
Or anything. She was just very friendly and has a really, really kind eye.
And she's beautiful. I mean, confirmationally, she's beautiful. So I didn't even hesitate to breed back. Mm-hmm. So I contacted Rainbow Equus and like last week and I said, hey, is it too late? Can I still breed to Rubignon? He's like, oh, yeah. And you get $300 discount because you're a repeat customer.
Oh, wow.
Like, well, I'll take it. I would have paid you the full amount, but thanks. So that is happening today and we'll see. And I did say to the stallion owner, I'm like, while you're collecting him, can you whisper black colt, black colt, black colt? He's like, I'll see what I can. Now I'm thinking he thinks I'm ridiculous, but yeah, well, give me a video. Was
he
enough.
Listens to the show. Know that anyway. So
he does not. Fortunately.
Oh, good. That's good. We prefer it when our friends and family don't listen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Don't listen.
Well, I got a list for you. Let me read this list to you, part of it anyway. I can't read it all because it's just too long. Wolfwear boots, saddle pads, horsewear polos, Karatex hoof hardener, Hoar's fly hoods, Kensington fly mask, Carrot's skirt, Town and Country boots, Ovation Country boots, Cashel saddlebags, Boggs boots for my husband, a fancy show hackamore, Ovation helmet, really nice dressage bridle, and reins for my new horse, Juliet. Get this. This keeps going. Four pairs of Ashley breeches in my cart right now because they are on sale for $9.99.
Aw, dang.
Iridian sun shirts recently, and breeches and a fly sheet. This is just part of the list. An hour ago, I posted in the auditor room with our listeners, what have you bought from Horse Lovers in the last couple of weeks? And this list goes on and on and on. That's how many people are finding bargains over at horselovers.com and what they're buying. It is a lot of different stuff. And I was really impressed by the variety of things that people are buying. And I had never done that before. I've never posted like that before. And this is in an hour. We had all of these responses, about 100 different products that were bought in the last couple of weeks. So if you're not taking a look at horselovers.com every day, you should be. And I don't know. I didn't see the $9 breeches.
I'm looking right now. See, I told you at the start of this show it's going to cost me money. I don't see the breeches. So
I don't either. But remember, their flash sales come and go every day. And then they right now they have Horsewear closeouts, another one of our sponsors of this show. Horsewear, they have a whole bunch of Horsewear products from shirts to coats to sheets. They have the Amigo Cotton Summer Sheets for $33, down from $80. Holy crap. Oh, Amigo Summer Pony Sheet. Jennifer, $24. And Scooter wears pony sheets anyway. What size does Scooter wear?
Scooter wears a 63.
Perfect. That's what it is.
Oh my
they
gosh.
Have one. They have a 63 left in navy silver. Add to cart.
Glenn and Joe's going to buy him some more clothes.
I have. It's only $24, down from 60. Okay, I'm getting the last one of those. But I mean, this list goes on and on, and I don't get much opportunity to buy stuff for Scooter. So when I do, I get to buy him clothing occasionally. They have the Horsewear nylon padded halters for $13. The saddle pads for $16 from Amigo. God, this Horsewear stuff is great. They have the Rambo Newmarket dog blankets. You know, the Newmarket ones with the red and yellow stripes, the really cool ones, for $16. Wouldn't Lucky look cool in a Newmarket blanket?
Well, he already has a Horse Lover's blanket, but he might need to.
He might need a Newmarket one. He'd be styling. All the girls would like him then. Yeah, so check it out. Head on over right now. This sale will go for probably only the rest of today. So you want to definitely go.
And is this the deal of the day or the flash?
That's just the big thing at the top, the closeout section. They have so many deals, I can't keep track of which section's which. But it's the big banner at the top that says 87% off closeouts from Horsewear.
A contest for Noble Outfitters. Yes. I love Noble Outfitters. I'm in.
All right, there you go. There you go. So yeah, horselovers.com is where you want to go. And don't forget, we do a review every week on Stable Scoop. At the end of every Stable Scoop show, our listeners do a review of a different product that Horse Lovers has sent to us from multiple different companies.
So how would I get involved in that, Glenn? How do I get free products?
You become an auditor. Head on over to horseradionetwork.com. Click on the auditor banner on the right side of the page. And for as little as $1 a month, you can donate and become an auditor for the Horse Radio Network, $1 to $25 a month. It's your choice. And half of that money goes back to our hosts to help enhance the very little
that we
pay.
The other half goes to Horse Lovers for buying Scooter
products. That's right. It's for buying Scooter products. That's exactly right. Horselovers.com. We have an exciting announcement to make. We just decided this in the last week. Long time listeners will know that I have had this dream of doing a 50-state RV tour of the United States and hitting horse things in every state and doing shows from the road and all of that. Well, by the time we priced the whole thing out, it cost about $1.5 million. And for some reason, none of our sponsors wanted to cough up $1.5 million to do this. So I don't know why, but you know, we just couldn't get it to work. But we decided, and you know what part of the problem was? Jennifer was not going to get an RV for a year without bringing the horses along. So now we had an RV big enough to pull the horse trailer, and it just got complicated.
All right, get to the point.
The point is, we've nailed it down, and we're going to do shorter RV trips. So we're going to start with Texas. Jennifer and I've only been to Fort Worth once for 2 days, and Jennifer has never been to Texas. So, and we have so many listeners and so many hosts in Texas, we're going to do a Texas trip. So this is what's going to happen. We're going to get in on the 16th of September, and we're going to spend the whole next week touring Texas. We're going to visit some of our friends in Texas and some of the hosts. But that weekend we get in, it just so happens in Fort Worth is the Extreme Mustang Makeover for Texas. And Mary Kitzmiller, one of our hosts, is competing in that Extreme Mustang Makeover, along with some other people we've had on the show. So we're going to go, and we're going to spend a couple days in Fort Worth and check out the Extreme Mustang Makeover. Dr. Wendy and Dr. Kyle, host, you know, Dr. Wendy, part owner of the Horse Radio Network and host of the Driving Radio Show, they're going to come along and actually rent an RV. So we have a caravan we're going to be doing this week-long trip through Texas. And you said that you're going to fly over for the Extreme Mustang Makeover.
I really want to. I mean, you know, it's not, can't put it in blood, but I am planning on it. That's a dream of mine to go to a Mustang Makeover and to be able to cheer on one of our hosts, Mary. That's awesome. I'm so excited. Now, the hesitation I have is you cannot let me bid on one of these horses at the end.
Yeah, because they do sell them at the end of the Extreme Mustang Makeovers.
You promise?
I promise.
Won't let me bid.
I will hold you. We will tie your hands behind your back. And right. Blindfold
I'm gonna
you.
Go then. I'm gonna
we'll
go.
Hog tie you. We'll make sure that we'll make sure. You know, it's Fort Worth. There's lots of lassos and things. We'll be able to tie you up.
Now, I think they do it at the end, so maybe I should just fly out before that takes place.
So we will be publishing. The other thing we wanted to make the announcement for is we're definitely going to be doing listener meetups. We're going to go down and visit Robin Donahue, who's down near Austin, and she's going to take us on carriage rides. Then we're going to head over. We're going to visit Sammy Joe. Remember Sammy Joe with her exotic animals and does the movies with her zebras and on all of that? Well, we're going to go spend a day with her. We're going to Dominique. You remember Dominique. You met Dominique, who also has zebras and exotic animals. And then we're going to end this road trip at Mary Kitzmiller's place, and we are going to count her animals, because remember, she'll never give us a count of how many animals she has, so we're going to make it a point to do an animal count while we're there. It should be a blast. The other thing we're doing, and you won't like this part, the other thing we're doing is this is a food trip, because Kyle is pretty much paleo, and Wendy will eat anything. This is a steak and barbecue trip, twice a day, every day, for 7 days. Yeah, so we knew you'd like amazing. That part of it.
You know how many vegetarian listeners we have, right? And vegan listeners, so.
Yeah, but they're not on the trip, so we don't care. We'll be
veggies unite.
we'll be enjoying.
We will go to a wing joint and eat carrots and celery sticks like champions.
That's right. Well, you know, the one thing about barbecue places, they usually have pretty good sides that are not meat or barbecue.
Now, see, here's the problem with that is they're cooked in meat. You don't know that because you're not a vegetarian.
You're really picky. You're really picky. So you can eat the cornbread.
It's my fault.
We'll take
it's
you out. You can
fault.
Have the cornbread.
Nope, can't have the cornbread, but you can have carrot sticks and celery.
Can eat
and
the ranch
if you
dressing.
Get a salad at these places, you have to order it without the bacon.
That's right.
Hold the bacon.
That's right. Yes.
People think you need to put bacon on the salad.
The places that we have planned to stop is a vegetarian nightmare, pretty much.
Yeah.
They're vegetarian nightmares.
Notice I did not get an RV and drive along with you.
Yeah, I did notice that. Yeah. I did notice that. Well, we are gonna publish that. We want to meet as many listeners as we can on this tour as well. So we're going to make sure that we have opportunities.
And let's just make a whole, like, make a trip to the Mustang Makeover. Let's all go.
Yeah. If you're into, I know that a bunch of the listeners have already said they want to go. And it's Fort Worth. I mean, how much fun is that? So
yeah,
that'll be a riot, and we're looking forward to that happening. Well, we do have a health segment today, and it's brought to you by Dr. B. Of course, Dr. B joins us on a regular basis out of Lexington, Kentucky. And it's a very short one today, and it's all about the medial and the lateral. And when I said to Jennifer earlier and Jamie earlier in the pre-show, I said, is that kind of like port and aft? Port and starboard, rather? And they said yes. So I understood it better having just got off a cruise. We'll be right back. We have our first guest coming up. We have four guests in a row coming up in a minute.
And I'm here with Dr. Brian Waldridge, better known on Facebook as Dr. B, Dr. B's Bluegrass. And he stops by the show every so often to help us out with veterinary things. And we are most of the way through our Horseman's Glossary of Veterinary Terms. And this time up, we are going to go through all those crazy weird words that veterinarians use to refer to the different parts of our horse, like proximal sesamoids and distal phalanxes and stuff. They use, it's kind of like a north, south, east, west, port side thing. So explain to us what those words are, what they mean, and why they're used.
We use them as much as anything to help pin down where a problem may be. Say if you're going to ultrasound a tendon, and that way you can go back and know about where that lesion may be. But kind of the basic ones are, like I said, medial and lateral. So medial means towards the inside, and lateral means towards the outside. And then proximal and distal. Proximal means towards the top of a limb or towards the start of something, and distal means towards the end of that something, you know, leg or intestinal tract or you know, anything that has some links to it.
All righty. So whenever you're looking at a part of a horse, he has sesamoids all over the place, so you need to specify exactly which one. Why can't you say inside or outside? Is that a question?
Well, that would be too easy. and it does help, because sometimes you may be trying to, like, going for sesamoid bones. You say distal sesamoid bone, you're actually talking about the navicular bone, and the proximal ones are the two little ones up there in the ankle. So, it just helps us to know. And anatomy's hard. They always change anatomy names and things like that. I was always proud of my B in anatomy, which was scraping by whenever I took the classes.
Well, that explains it all. See, it wasn't as complicated as we thought. So where can folks find Dr. B on Dr. B's Bluegrass on the Facebook? What's the Facebook page called?
It's Dr. B's Bluegrass.
Dr. B's Bluegrass. Easy to find and icky pooey free. He posts lots of beautiful pictures, fascinating pictures, and inspiring pictures, not the icky gooey ones.
That's right. I want to promote the state because I'm a native Kentuckian, so I want people to come here and just enjoy the horse industry and take a look at what we have here, because I just run into some really cool people every day working on the horses, and just want to share that with everybody.
There we go. Thanks a lot, and we'll see you again soon.
Oh, thank you. Good talking to you.
Well, coming up, we have our first guest of the day. She is a listener of ours. She's an auditor, which we thank her for being an auditor and supporter of the Horse Radio Network. And she's going on a much bigger adventure than I just announced we're going on. And I wanted to talk to her about it because I've seen her posting and getting people lined up to help her with this adventure. Anne Marie, how are you?
I am good.
Thanks for joining us today and telling us about this. So a 50-state horse tour. Tell us about this. What motivated this?
Well, I've always been, like, big into traveling, and I did a study abroad in college, and I've always wanted to kind of see more of the U.S., so this is kind of my way of incorporating my horses into the whole traveling aspect.
So what do you plan to do? What's the plan?
The plan is I'm going to be taking trail rides in each state. After hearing about the new tip program, I kind of want to try and incorporate my horse, but because she's older, she'll only go to, like, the closer states. And so I'm going to travel to each state and do, like, either a trail ride with, like, a barn that does it for, like, a job type thing, or go trail riding with, like, auditors or hosts. So.
Well, I know you got a great response from the auditors, and they all wanted you to come trail riding with them. Now, is this a multi-year plan, or are you planning on doing it in a short period of time? What's the story there?
This is definitely going to have to be a multi-year plan because it's very expensive to travel to the farther states, because I do live in upstate New York. So I can do a lot of, like, the Northeast this year. I can do some of the South this year as well because my sister lives down there.
And you?
Well, I live in Arizona. Come on out, girl.
And we could probably get Florida covered. We can get that covered,
yes,
pretty easily.
Easily.
And we have 32 hosts who live in pretty much all different states, so we can probably get hosts involved all over the country. You know what? Karen can cover Nevada and take you on a 100-mile ride.
Oh my God, I'm going to die.
You don't want 100 mile rides. You're thinking shorter trail rides for.
Yeah, probably shorter. Oh, well, I guess I could say shorter, but we're going on a 3-hour ride this weekend, so that'll be a nice little warm up.
Tell us about your horse, the one you just mentioned.
She's a 19-year-old off-the-track thoroughbred. I got her 6 years ago. She was actually trained for the track by my trainer that I work with now. I was riding with her for about a month, and then she was like, hey, I have a horse for you. And we loaded up the trailer and went to the barn and picked her up and brought her home.
And is this, is your trainer a race trainer now?
She does train, like she starts yearlings for the track, but she also does dressage and hunter jumpers as well.
Oh, wow. That's very cool. So where are we starting? Have you knocked any states off yet?
Not yet. This weekend is going to be the first one. Going to Hampton, Connecticut, which is in the Northeast region. And it's about 2.5 hours from where I live.
And who are you riding with? Where are you going?
I'm going to Danielle Rigby's farm in Hampton, Connecticut.
And she's one of our listeners too, right?
Yep, she's one of the other auditors.
Well, that's terrific. That's going to be a lot of fun. Now, are you going to document this, I hope, this adventure with pictures or on a blog or somewhere?
Yeah, I have a Facebook page going right now. It's Anne's 50 States Ride Challenge, and I'm going to try and take video. I don't have a GoPro yet. That's next on the list to get for things. I'm going to try and use my phone and hopefully not drop it on the trail.
I understand.
Yeah. As Jamie's is cracked right now.
Yep.
So I just found a Facebook page. It's Anne's 50 State Ride Challenge, and I'm liking that right now. So
now, is this something, Anne, let me ask you, is this something that you were like, I'm going to just someday ride all 50 states, and it just took this life of its own? Or did you set out to go, all right, this is for real, I'm going to ride at all 50 states? Or was it just kind of a passing statement that came to life?
Probably more of like a passing statement. I was just like, I wonder what it would be like to ride in different states. And then I'm like, wait a minute, why don't I try all 50 states? And my mom goes, well, you're crazy enough to try it.
And then a challenge on.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, challenge accepted.
That's awesome. So it kind of did just take a life of its own. And it's kind of like me going, oh, I'm going to event in every 50 state, you know, something like that. And then all of a sudden you're swept up in this, I'll help you, people coming from all over the place. I'll help you. You can ride with me. You can ride with me. So that's awesome that it's created this life. Are you going to join us in Texas then? Because then we have to find you a horse to ride. Maybe Mary Kitzmiller.
Oh, yeah. She has a few.
Well, actually, I'm definitely going to try Texas. I don't know if it's going to be this year or next year, but I definitely have on the book that next year is going to be at least 2 farther away states that I'm going to fly to.
I assume you have a real job, too, and kind of a life.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. I wish this could be my job.
Yeah, don't we all? Well, that's great. We're going to follow your progress. Definitely keep posting in the auditor room, and we'll let the listeners know what's going on and post pictures after your ride this week. And thank you to the other auditor.
One question.
Yeah.
Do you have like a specific type of riding you're going to do? Or like you go to Texas, you're going to barrel race in Texas, and then you go to New England and you're going to event, and then you go out to the west and you're going to sort cattle. Do you have any sort of goal, or is it just whatever they do, you're going to do it?
I think it's more of like whatever they do, I'm going to do it. Like yesterday when I was listening about the Great American Horse Roundup thing, I was like, oh, that would be so cool for Colorado to try and do. And then I saw the price and I was like, maybe not.
So kind of what you can do, because I do like your 50 States Ride Challenge Facebook page home. It says, on a journey to see all 50 states from the back of a horse and to discover who I am and what I'm capable of. So I think you just get in there, girl, and you do it. I'm really excited for you. I'm really proud of you. I want to do it. Can I copy you?
Well, my goal is, Jamie, I'm going to try and come out to Arizona and ride with you in Arizona. And then when you move to Oklahoma, we're going to do Oklahoma as well.
Done.
Yeah, there you go. You can kill two with Jamie. That'd be perfect. And yeah, Colorado, we just had
pink.
On this.
We
just had the Great American Horse Drive yesterday from Colorado on the show, and you could go out and do that. That'd be kind of cool.
That's what she was talking about. Yeah. So,
except that's $2,400. Cool. I discovered after the show yesterday.
That's what she just said. Yes, it's too expensive.
I'm gonna have to do a Kickstarter to do that one.
Yeah, that was really too expensive. For sure.
Well, cool, and that's awesome. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
Well, good job, girl. We'll keep track of it.
Yes. I'll let you know if I actually survive this weekend.
All right.
You got it, girl. You got it.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Glenn, I love women that just create a goal and like take the steps to get it done and do it. That's so awesome.
I saw the first post she did on the auditor page and everybody was so excited for her because I think that's kind of something, you know, it's kind of something everybody goes, well, that'd be cool. You know, that'd be cool to do, but I'll never do it. Right. That's one of those things. Well, there's something else coming up. The American Horse Council is now in the middle of one of their surveys of horse people, and they do these every couple of years, but they've opened it to everybody now. It was just they do this in two phases, one with groups and organizations, and then they open it to everybody. So it is now open to everybody, and it is to check out the economic impact that horses have in the country. This is important because it also helps in lobbying efforts. So if they can go in and say the horses have $100 billion effect on the economy, legislators tend to listen a little more. And that's why these surveys are so important. So they're asking that everybody, backyard horse owners to active competitors, whatever, breeders, apparently that we can throw Jamie in that category now. whatever can go over and fill out this survey. Jennifer will post a link to it. Jennifer, it's in the show notes under the news. We'll post a link to it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page so that you also can go take the survey. Please take the time to do it. The more, if we can get tens and tens and tens of thousands of people doing it, that's going to greatly affect the numbers, and it just gets more play, and we get more clout in the world. And that's what the American Horse Council does. They're really a lobbying organization in Washington, D.C. So I wanted to throw that out there. There was another thing, too, before we get to our next guest, who's coming to us from Sweden, which will be a lot of fun. This was all over the news, and I noticed the auditors had a long discussion going about it. I just wanted to throw my two cents in. There was an Amish buggy that apparently got loose yesterday in Ohio, and in Worcester, Ohio, and was just bolting. I mean, taking off. Nobody in the buggy. I don't know if it was tied up at a store or whatever, but the buggy was going down the road at about 80 miles an hour. And the Ohio police, one brave Ohio police cop decided to jump in the buggy and get this horse stopped and succeeded at doing that, by the way. This was on State Route 250. The sergeant jumped inside and managed to get the horse to come to a stop. Now, that was all exciting enough. The horse was so tired, it actually collapsed in the harness and everything, still attached to the buggy. And the conversation was with the auditors was, why didn't the policemen do more? Because there were several policemen around at this point. They called a vet right away and were waiting the vet to come out, but they really weren't doing anything with the horse. And my comment was, look, most people are not trained to deal with horses. They are scary. And in a situation like this, where it's still attached to the carriage, we've seen accidents with carriages before, and you got to know what you're doing to get a horse that's down, cut away from the harness. And a lot of times you end up having to cut the harness, and you know, harnesses hook on in different ways depending on the carriage, and it's difficult to do if they're taught. I said my opinion was the best thing they could do was just wait, make sure the horse didn't do anything stupid, and just wait for a professional to get there to deal with the situation. Apparently, the horse is fine and everything's okay. But, you know, when a horse goes down in a carriage, and Jennifer can attest to this too, we've seen this happen, it's a dangerous situation. You can get hurt. So in my opinion was, if you're not trained, the best thing to do is make sure the situation's under control and wait for the vet to get there. I don't know if you have a different opinion. I know auditors had a different opinion. They thought they should have done more, but they're not trained in this, most of them. Right now, they're just trained in being, you know, how to not get shot. So I was with them. I I'm glad they didn't do more, because I think it could have gone worse and gotten worse. The horse was laying down.
Well, say they cut it loose and then it gets up and runs into the middle of the street. Ah, I get it. Like, these people are not trained. They're not horse people. There's nobody there that was a horse person. I didn't see it because I can't watch stuff like that. But the fact that it would be like, this giant tiger is stuck underneath this rock. Let's move the rock.
Yeah, I'm not moving the rock.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I get it. Like, that's how it is to them. It would be the version of a tiger, you know, trap that you're going to set free. So they don't understand what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to come. So,
and the horse wasn't flailing. So, I mean, that's the other thing.
Well, the whole thing is just a really awful situation.
But, you know, They got it. Stop. He's a brave guy to jump his carriage in the first place.
It's like, that's like Tom Cruise Mission Impossible.
Exactly.
Stuff.
Exactly. But I just wanted to put my 2 cents in there for that, because I think that, you know, you really have to be careful in situations like that.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Now we're going to have to do this live, so you and Jennifer can chat while I get this call set up. As you know, when we call overseas, I have to do it live on Skype. So I'm going to try and get Louise on here.
And this is a lady race rider from Sweden. So that's why we have to do it just kind of live on Skype to get her on, because it's just easier than calling. Probably a little cheaper too. So still working. Glenn's dialing away there. Are you working on it, Glenn?
I'm working on it.
Yes.
Working on it. Hopefully we'll get an answer here shortly.
Do, 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 do.
You say hi to her when she answers.
You want me to do my... Oh, here we go. Louise!
Yes! Hello!
How are you? My name is Jamie from the Horse Radio Network, Horses in the Morning. I'm with Glenn, and you're talking. You're live on the air.
All right. Cool. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, we're wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, I'm a big fan. I was an exercise rider a long time ago, and you are now an official race rider and a mom. First of all, tell us about your racing career, because I just think you're amazing. Fascinating.
All right. Thank you. Well, I'm actually an amateur jockey. Because I'm too old to be a professional here in Sweden. You're only allowed to be... Huh?
That's ridiculous.
I know. I know. Right.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No worries. You're only allowed to be 30 when you start your apprenticeship. And I'm 34, so I missed it by 4 years. But I started off as a 14-year-old, exercise riding, and then I worked like in different yards. I've been in Ireland and Italy and Denmark, worked mainly with jump horses, and then I got back to to racing again like 5 years ago. And I was supposed to be start off the apprenticeship before I turned 30, but then I had a massive accident with my own horse. So now, you know, I'm an amateur jockey and I'm pretty fine with that.
Well, let's start this over. So you started basically back at the track after the age of 30. What made you desire? What gave you the desire to do that?
Because I've always wanted to be a race jockey since I was, I can't even remember how old I was. I always wanted to be a race jockey because I'm very tiny. So obviously that was, you know, the sport that I was aiming for, because I love horses. I've been with horses all my life and I love racing. I love the speed and everything. So that drove me back because I was starting off a new life, kind of.
Right.
Because I've been abroad for so long. And I was come back to Sweden and I was like, oh, I don't know what I want to do with my life. And then I was like, hey, let's move to Stockholm and start racing again.
Unbelievable. So were you single at this time? You moved to Stockholm and you just walked up to a track and you're like, hey, somebody give me a job.
Yes. Exactly.
Unbelievable.
Exactly.
Go girl. Yeah. And it helps that you got the tiny on your side when you walk up to a trainer and say, hey, let me ride your horse. I've ridden before. Now, kind of take us through that journey of starting to be and getting that job, and then how the whole, like, you know, having a kid come into play.
That was very unexpected because I just started racing again, like, you know, get rides, because it's really hard to get rides here in Sweden when you're an amateur jockey and when you're my age. So I just started off racing again, like, really. I won once. I was pregnant at the time, but I didn't know it. And then I found out I was pregnant, and I was like, ooh, I just started this. And I was like, well, I want to have this kid because I'm with his father as well. And, you know, it felt solid and it felt like it was the right time. But now it's a little bit tricky to get all the, you know, all the everything into place, you know, to exercise ride and to get rides in races and to take care of my son as well, because he's not even 9 months old yet.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So you have a kid and you're back in the tack.
Yes.
How long did that take, Superwoman?
I waited like 3 months after giving birth, because that was a cesarean. So I had to wait a little bit to get my, you know, all my muscles to face.
Oh
and then I started riding my own, my old horse. And then I got back to racing like 5 months after.
Unbelievable. So you're an amateur jockey in Sweden. I would like to mention that Gary Stevens, who is a race writer here in the US, is like 56. So I think that this ageism is ridiculous in Sweden, but whatever. Not my opinion, but I think that that's awesome. So tell me about your first race.
Oh, my first race. I was so nervous. It wasn't even planned because I got my license and then I waited for like 4 or 5 months because I wanted to train myself and, you know, get really, really fit so I could stand for a race. And then I was called up by a trainer that I've been working for a little bit before. And I got to ride this really lovely horse. And I was fifth, I think. Yes, I was fifth in my first race.
Wow.
So, I mean, I can't even remember when we cantered off to the start because, you know, I was so nervous. I kind of blacked out there.
That's always good when a rider blacks out.
I knew what I was doing, but it was, you know, I can't even remember it now because I was thinking, okay, breathe, exhale, inhale. That's right. Kind of, yeah.
Well, like the first time you go up to the starting gates and there's a horses everywhere and they're getting loaded into gates. That's got to be just surreal in itself to be one of those people, because I would love to do this too, obviously.
I think the start is the best moment in the race, because when you get in the gates and you hear the starter say last horse in or last one in, and you know that, you know, it's only seconds or moments until the gates open and you just rush out. That's the best feeling because you get such an adrenaline kick from it.
Absolutely.
And and that's what, you know, what drives me.
So how many races have you run in? Sorry.
I'm only in my 10th race, actually. So I haven't done a lot of racing because, like I said, it's really hard getting rides as an amateur.
So if you're still only in 10, are you still blacking out at the beginning?
No. That was only my first race.
Okay.
After that, I was like, I really love this. I'm born to do this. So now, no. I'm not blacking out. I kind of get a little bit nervous like a day or two before. But when I sit there and I, you know, it's time to race, I'm like really, really focused because this is really what I'm born to do.
And are you doing flat racing or jump racing?
Flat racing.
Okay.
But I'm thinking about starting jump racing as well.
Because flat racing isn't dangerous enough. We're just going to add some jumps in there.
Exactly. Well, you have to be a little bit crazy to do that.
Now, Louisa, so you are, you're 10 races in, and you said it's hard to get mounts as an amateur.
Yeah.
Is it hard to get mounts as a woman, or are you guys kind of past the sexism in Sweden?
No, we're past that.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if you're a woman or a man. It's as hard as it is for everyone. And actually, amateur jockeys, we're more women than men.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
So as an amateur jockey, what is different about being an amateur jockey? Obviously, you're riding in races, than being a non-amateur jockey, a professional jockey. Are you getting paid or you're not getting paid? So what's the difference?
We're not getting paid. We don't get paid like 10% of the winning money or anything. It's completely, we don't get anything for it. We kind of pay for riding.
Okay. So let me review this just to get it straight in my mind. You are going out there risking life and limb 9 months after having a child, risking life and limb, and you're not getting paid a dime.
No. Exactly.
Sounds fun as hell, though. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. But I mean, people race cars when they don't get paid for that.
That's true.
So,
that's true.
Yeah.
That's
exactly. So, yeah. it's not as idiotic as it might sound.
So you're being an amateur. Are you able to get paid for exercise riding in the morning? So you are making a kind of a career out of this in other areas, right?
Yeah. You can get paid for exercise riding. But this is not my full-time job. I have a full-time job on the side as well.
What do you do? Yeah. We're always curious what horse people do for a living. What do you do?
I'm in finance. So I, kind of sit in an office selling structured products like funds and stuff.
Oh, okay.
On the secondary market. So I'm trading. You can say
okay.
That.
When you are sitting in your cubicle trading, are you doing squats and sitting down like you're in a saddle the whole time?
Yeah, sometimes I do.
I figured. I knew it. Her desk chair is an equisizer.
Yeah, that's right.
I wish.
That's awesome.
Tell us about the Grand National. Yes. Didn't that just happen? And first of all, the Swedish Grand National, tell us about what is that kind of like our Breeders' Cup?
No, not really. The Grand National is like, in like the UK Grand National, it's
okay.
Jump racing. And it's the biggest race day of the year, I would say, because a lot of jump racing and a lot of international riders come there as well. And there are a lot of races that amateurs can be in as well, because when you have like a race day, you only have like one or zero amateur races per race day in Sweden.
Got it. And were you in it?
Yes.
Were you in one of those races?
Yes, I was. I was.
Tell us about it.
No, it was actually my first time there in Strömsholm. I always wanted to race there. It's on grass and it's very slippery and it's a really tricky track as well, because it's not completely round like normal racetracks. I was fifth on a horse called Zachary's Side. It was his first race of the year as well.
Oh, wow.
So he was... No, I was fourth. Sorry, I was fourth. I was fourth. And he raced good, but he got a little bit tired in the end.
Do they allow sticks? Do they allow whips in racing in Sweden?
Yes, but you can only hit three times.
Three times in the whole race?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
That's
and
good.
Then medication, because Sweden is so much further ahead of us in so many ways. So race day medication, what is the law there?
Oh, I don't know.
Do they use Lasix? Do you know?
No, they can't do that.
Oh, yeah, that's what I thought.
They're not allowed to do that. Yeah.
How?
No, because... Huh?
I was just going to ask, how big and how popular is racing in Sweden? You know, obviously, in the United States, racing is popular here during our Triple Crown, and then it's not popular. But in England, it's to most people in the country.
Yeah.
But what about over there? Is it popular there? I know you're a horse culture, too. We have a lot of listeners.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. It's, harness racing is a lot bigger in Sweden than, real racing, according to me. It's not as popular, and it feels like it's gone downhill the last couple of years. When I started 20 years ago, it was a lot bigger than it is now.
Wow.
So that's a little bit disappointing, but
we're trying
to promote it.
Are casinos allowed in Sweden? Do you have casinos in Sweden?
Yes, only government casinos.
Oh.
So we have only three, I think, in Sweden: Stockholm, Gothenburg, and Malmö.
Have you ever driven in a sulky race?
Not in a sulky race, but I've trained sulky horses.
And that's a trip, though, isn't it, in itself, going around there in the sulky at 90 miles an hour?
Yeah, well, it's fun, but it's not as fun as racing, obviously.
Real racing.
I was trying to get it in there.
I'm with you.
I say it again, but yeah, real racing. No, do you know Montea? The kind of, it's trotting, but you sit on the horse as a jockey, but it's still trotting.
Oh my gosh.
Really?
Yeah, we have that too in Sweden, and that's getting bigger. And I'm getting my Montea license this fall.
What kind of horses?
Well, it's the same as in harness racing.
Oh, okay. So you're riding a trotting horse, a standardbred or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Got
exactly.
It. Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Hey, smoother. I bet you it's a lot smoother.
No way.
No.
No?
No.
No way.
Not at all. No, you have to have more balance on a trotting horse.
Yeah, that's true.
On a racehorse, yeah.
Oh, that sounds like teeth jarring.
Do they do that with pacers too?
Yeah. Huh?
Do they do it with pacers too?
With pacers?
Pacing horses. Do you have pacing horses over there?
They move their legs move laterally.
Not.
It's not a trot.
Yeah.
No, I guess they just have trotters.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's only trotters.
Oh, wow.
Unbelievable.
It is
That's
interesting
so cool.
That how the different countries are different. It's always fun for us to take a look at the different countries.
Well, if you ever have any questions about real racing in the U.S., you call us. We'll call you for Swedish racing questions. It has been a pleasure talking to you. What is your baby's name?
His name is Ludwig.
Ludwig, of course it is. Oh, my God. Please give him a big old smooch on the mouth for us, from us. And congratulations and good luck in the future. And if you ever have anything else going on racing wise and you want to talk about it, please give us a call, because you're just awesome.
Absolutely, I will.
All right, Louise, thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
Do you have a website or anything we can follow you, or a Facebook page or anything?
I have a Facebook page, and it's my name, Louise Pettersson.
Pettersson, and give Ludwig a
yeah. All right.
Thanks, Louise.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
What fun. You know, we have
That's so cool. What a hero.
Yes, I know. And
I'm like 34. I'm going to start racing.
That's right. And do it for free.
Yeah.
And beg to do it for free is the part. I didn't know about that whole amateur thing. So what it came down to is, if you didn't start as an apprentice by the time you're 30, then you couldn't. Is what it came down to. So she missed that cutoff by a couple of years, and then couldn't start. That's interesting. I didn't know that. But we have a ton of listeners in Sweden. I think it's now our fourth largest audience, because they speak better English than we do, is what it comes down to. But
absolutely,
very, very cool.
Well, and I have some Swedish friends that I've met over at Monty's place, and they are just all like just a little further ahead socially and a little further ahead, you know, and they're
their mindset is just, they're progressive, I guess, is what I'm, what the word I'm looking for. So all you Swedish people, I love you. You're awesome.
All right. Let's switch
and
gears.
They're beautiful too, which is just not fair.
Yeah. They sound good and they're beautiful. Both.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to switch gears here a little bit. We have a very exciting announcement, and I have a little audio file for you.
A good horse could cost as much as a house, but why and how? This week, we'll discuss horse prices, equestrian sports future in the Olympic Games, why we said we'd never wear plaid, but now we're wearing it all the time, and why the jury is still out on Depo.
From Heels Down Magazine, a podcast where three horse pros chat about what's happening in the horse world over drinks.
Welcome to Happy Hour!
That's the intro to our newest show here on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Heels Down Media and Heels Down Magazine. And you're going to recognize one of these people coming on because she's been on our show many times doing updates on Wednesday, and that's Caroline Culbertson.
What's up, Caroline?
Hey, guys. It's never not weird to hear myself talk.
Jamie won't listen back to the show. She will not
never.
Do it.
No,
never.
Yeah, nope. It's tough. We have to edit our own show, so for us, we have to listen to ourselves talk.
I feel for you.
That's it's rough. Crazy.
Well, I would edit myself completely out if I was editing. That's terrible. That's terrible. That's
congratulations, terrible. Caroline. Your first episode's out.
We're so excited.
It's called Heels Down Happy Hour, and you have a lot of co-hosts. One of us is with us right now. Do you want to introduce her?
Yes. So this is my lovely, super talented, award-winning journalist, co-host Justine Griffin, who's also on the show with me, along with Jessica Payne.
Hi, guys. Happy to be here.
What an intro. I mean, dang, let's screw this up.
No, thanks, Caroline. Jeez.
Speaking of intros, obviously it is happy hour. And when you initially talked to me about the show, we've worked with you guys for years off and on. And then you started doing the segments and then you guys said, well, you know, we're getting so big and it would be so cool to do this. But we want to do kind of the opposite of horses in the morning, right? Isn't that what the concept was?
Yeah. So we wanted to sort of be, you know, this is kind of how people wake up and get their news in the morning. And then we kind of wanted to do the antithesis of that, which we thought would be fun to kind of incorporate the happy hour. We are three pretty personality filled, boisterous people. So we thought that that would be a fun way to, you know, have people kind of kick back in the evenings with a drink and have a drink with us and talk about what's going on in the horse world. So yeah, we were laughing actually because, when we were, you know, coming on it for this morning, we were like, it's a little early to talk about alcohol probably.
No, it's never too early.
So, I mean, a little bit of rum and coffee, isn't that a thing? Like Irish coffee or something like that? I don't know. Whatever.
I don't know if I should be offended that you wanted to do the exact opposite of my show. I was like, is that cool or is that not cool? I don't know. I haven't decided yet. Jury's out.
Well, you know, morning drive radio is
like
a little
completely opposite.
Yeah, morning drive radio is a little different than afternoon drive radio, right? I mean, it's always been a little different.
Yeah, it's like the wind down at the end of the day.
Exactly.
So a little bit different.
You. I just playing your opener there. I love that opener, by the way. Every time, I know I helped make it, but I love the opener because it just came out perfect. It really did. You guys did a good job with that. You know, what's the show going to be about? What can people expect to hear?
Well, so, they can expect to hear all of us joking around most of the time, but we're still technically a news show. Like we'll be discussing topics in the equestrian world, any news that relates specifically to the Olympic disciplines. So dressage, show jumping, eventing. Just this week when we were filming, Jessica shared some really great ground pull exercises to use on the flat. So there's definitely news you can use, but it's also really fun. You'll get to know us as people and not just riders or journalists. Caroline, you want to chime in?
Yeah. So, I would say it's a certain percentage joking around.
Absolutely.
And it's a certain percentage, real factual information. So if you don't want to listen to something that's super NPR-ish and that kind of news delivery, this might be the show for you. It's truly, it's three friends sitting around talking about what's going on in the horse world. And we get into kind of complicated topics. For instance, the episode that's I can say it now, that's out now, we break down the depot kind of controversy. And we really want to take some of these more complex topics and break them down in a way that is accessible and kind of remove the whole, you know, there's a little bit of confusion on a lot of those types of topics. So we're kind of breaking it down and making it sort of chatting with friends over drinks kind of thing.
It really does have that feel too. The feel like you're all sitting at the bar at the end of the day talking, you know, which is and it's so funny because we sent this out to our focus group before we published the first episode, and they all came back with the same thing. It was so funny. You guys were shocked, and I was a little shocked too. Apparently, they do want an alcoholic recipe in each show. Apparently, we're lacking that at the Horse Radio Network, and we have a bunch of drunks that listen because they all seem to want a alcoholic recipe in each one. So, is that something you're going to incorporate? Because, geez,
yes, it sure is.
There's no way we cannot do that now because I think every single person was like, "This is great, but I want to talk more about the alcohol."
It was funny. I was not expecting that, to be honest.
So there will be a drink recipe with each, a drink recipe or a drink review, you know, a wine review, a beer review, something like that with each episode. And then maybe some mocktails as well for those that don't like to drink alcohol, but kind of want to get in on it too. And so Justine, so far we were laughing because Justine has done our first couple, and we joke that she's kind of the resident drinker on the show.
But it's
all of us. She's just gotten pinned with doing the first couple.
Perfect. I heard the first one, and I apologize I couldn't be there last night, but I heard the first one, and Justine drinks some bizarre stuff. I'm just saying.
Oh my goodness. Oh, they're creative. I have to do my homework to give the audience what they want.
This Justine, you know, there's always one of us in the room. So if there's not one of us in the room, it's us. Like if there's not that guy in the room, we're that guy. So be right. That guy. Own it, Justine.
Owning it. Yeah.
I love it.
I know we've had Caroline on here before, but Caroline, tell us a little bit, remind everybody that may be a new listener about the magazine too. Heels Down obviously is the one that is the sponsor of this show, and you know, you have sponsors, but you're the presenting sponsor of this show. So tell us a little bit about the magazine.
Absolutely. And Justine and I both work for the magazine, work on the magazine and develop it. So we can both speak very thoroughly for that. The Heels Down magazine is a monthly digital magazine that you get on your phone or your tablet, your whatever mobile device you're using, and it has something for everybody. It's a bit of a newer thing because it's a digital magazine, so it's not printed, and you can take it anywhere. And once it's on your phone, you never have to have internet to access anything. You can read it on the plane, and there's audio and video and tons of riding exercises, and we have some really amazing people that are involved in the magazine. We have people writing, you know, we have a lawyer writing legal articles to give you sort of guidance there, and we have a bunch of professional riders, and we have some really interesting people on the cover. And I wish I could talk about what's coming out next month, but it's a little early to talk about July, so I can't give anything away for that. But we have some amazing people that are all experts in their field contributing to the magazine. And there's really something for everybody, even fashion pages, riding exercise videos, that sort of thing. So it's pretty amazing.
JB, this is why we could never do a magazine, because it actually requires preparation and forethought.
If you think I'm going to edit myself talking, I'm going to cut my own articles out of there. It is terrible.
Now, where did Jessica Payne, who is a four-star event rider and married to Doug Payne, a four-star event rider, how did she get into this mix?
Justine, do you want to go into this?
Sure. So Jess has always been a friend of the magazine and a friend of, you know, everyone who works at the magazine. And I know we've written about her before, we've quoted her before, and she's just full of energy and super fun to be around. So when Caroline and I were talking about launching this podcast, and when we were doing this, we're like, oh, we need a third person who is super fun and just, you know, has that awesome bubbly personality, but also is super knowledgeable. I mean, she's amazing. She's a super talented rider. She rides not only eventing, but also in show jumpers and has a hunter jumper background. So she just has this tremendous knowledge base, and we couldn't be happier to have her with us.
And she's as weird and offbeat and crazy as we are. So it's really a perfect fit.
She fits right in. Yeah.
She fits right in.
She did a thing in the first episode that's out now, and we'll tell everybody where to get that here. But in the first episode that's out now, we get the question all the time, how do professional riders make a living? How can they afford to do this? Well, she went into detail on how her and Doug got a start and how they could afford to do everything they do. And I mean, in detail with dollar amounts and everything.
Yeah.
So that's
pretty amazing.
Yeah. And you know, that's the kind of thing that the listeners are, and me as a listener, I'm always wondering, how do these guys spend all this money and do this? Well, you really get a good idea in the first episode of how they do it. And I was so glad you addressed that, because it is something that we get the question on all the time.
Yeah. And I think it'll be, you know, really interesting for regular readers of our magazine to listen to as well, because through interviews and, you know, feature articles that we've done on a bunch of riders, it's even a further look, you know, deeper look into that, how they kind of make it work financially. And she just lays it all out there. So yeah, it's, I was kind of like, oh, you're just going to tell everyone all of the like dollar figures and everything. Like she did not hold back. So
I think I even stopped her and said, are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
She was like, yeah, no problem.
Whatever.
I
don't care.
I think she had been drinking too. I think that helped.
Yeah.
So we need to keep her drinking, because it's much more interesting, I think, if we keep her drinking. You know, you guys, you can find this now. It's been out in various places for about a week or two now, but we wanted to make sure it was out everywhere. Right now, it's on our app. You want to, for those of you, and I know there's thousands of you that listen on the Horse Radio Network app, you want to make sure you get the latest update. You want to make sure your app is updated. The iOS and Android versions are both out for updates right now. You'll see Heels Down Happy Hour. Well, the logo will be there, and the first episode is on there. It's also available on all the other usual places, iTunes and or Google Play. If any of the podcast players that you use, you'll find it. Just search for Heels Down Happy Hour and it'll come up. I think you're going to like the show. I am so excited. I think it's a wonderful addition to the Horse Radio Network. And we always love our sponsors. So you have a title sponsor for this show.
Yes, it's besides Heels Down, it's EcoGold.
EcoGold, which is a terrific company, and you're going to hear more about the products that they offer too. Very familiar with them. They have quality products. You're going to hear all about those on the show as well as we go along. But I'm so excited to have you guys on board. Where can people find the magazine and that kind of thing? I just told them how they could listen to the show, but where can they find the magazine?
Sure. So you can find a blog post that is going to have a player on our website. So in addition to finding our show on the Horse Radio Network, you can also go to our website. It's heelsdownmag.com to listen to the podcast and to find out more information about the magazine. And you can subscribe to the magazine. Again, it's once monthly. And that you can do that on Google Play or in your iTunes store. And you just download the app and then the magazine will download to your phone once a month once you subscribe. And you'll kind of have everything you need, from riding exercises to fashion advice to interviews with riders, everything like that, literally in your pocket. So it's pretty amazing.
And how often is this going to come out?
The podcast is going to be twice a month. So you can hear us gab for 45 minutes twice a month.
Okay. All right, very good. And we'll be posting more about that and make sure that, but the best way to do it is subscribe so that you automatically get them downloaded to your phone. Thank you, ladies. I'm so excited.
Thanks so much, Glenn.
All right. And Carolyn, are you still going to still come on and do our Wednesday updates too?
Of course I am.
Twice a month? Okay, good.
Yay! Of course I am. Good. I'm still here.
All right, good. Because I was going to not let you not do it. So
No, I have to have my morning thing and then my evening thing. It's perfect. It works perfectly.
That's right. You know what? If you want to drink in the morning too, we don't care. I'm just saying.
Yeah, maybe a little Bloody Mary will be in the spirit of happy hour. That'll be fitting.
All right, guys. Thanks a bunch. Heels down, happy hour. Look for it. HorseRadioNetwork.com. Bye, guys.
Bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye, guys. Yeah, that just sounds fun to listen to.
It is.
Just having him on the show makes me happy.
I know. And throw Jess in there. you have a fun show. I like it because it's so different than anything else we have. Yeah, they do have content. I mean, they do talk about some serious stuff, but it's done in a very entertaining and fun way. Obviously, that's what we believe in here at Horse Radio Network. But I was so glad that they did it and they know what they're talking about. And Heelstown has a huge social media presence too. An Instagram, and they just have a ton of followers. So we're glad that they're a part of the network. That's our 14th show active right now on the Horse Radio Network. So if you...
Way to go, boss. You're just like, you had this evil genius idea of starting a network about horses and people laughed at you. They laughed.
That's right.
And here you are, 14 shows later, bitches. What?
That sounds like a good place to end the show. We're actually going to play the first episode because tomorrow's the fifth Thursday of the month. We don't usually have anything planned here for Horses in the Morning. So we're going to play that for you tomorrow morning here on Horses in the Morning. And then Friday's Really Bad Ads. We're giving away the prizes this week, Jamie. It's going to be fun.
Yes, we are.
So get your ads in. You still have time. Get them in to Jennifer at Horse Radio Network. Buy.com by the end of the day on Thursday. Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com by the end of the day on Thursday. Double entries for those that choose to read them themselves. That's it. We'll talk to you all on Friday morning.
You want to tell Mr. Glenn what happens if you sleep in the room by yourself all night?
What happens?
I get more pay.
You get more what?
I am not beneath bribing my child, Glenn. Every night that he sleeps in his room by himself all night long, he gets a Pez candy dispenser. And Amazon will deliver to your house in 2 days or less packets of 16 to 24 Pez dispensers. So
has
we're
that
working
worked?
Our way.
Has that motivation
the
worked?
He just came running in. He goes, "Can I get my Pez?"
Oh, I guess it worked. Wow.
It works.
That's good bribery.
Date number three, Pez number three.
You know, the older he gets, the bigger the bribe's going to have to be.
Man, it used to be like you get to have like pancakes for breakfast. Now it's like I need presents. The poop and the potty thing, like, oh, yeah, you get presents. Now it's like, it just keeps going.
Just give me sugar first thing in the morning. But... I'm happy. It'd be chocolate cake soon. You're going to have to be
baking.
Well,
he was like at 2 in the morning, he was waking up and coming into my room. And then he would like climb in between Chad and I. And I didn't know it. And I would wake up to like a butt kick to my jaw, a heel strike or a throat punch. And I would wake up like, what is this creature? Oh, it's our child that's climbed in the bed. So the bribing happens.
Whatever that's works.
Whatever works. Whatever Sorry, works. He just came running in. So I thought I had to tell you about it.
Bye,
anyway,
talk to you
spay, neuter, geld. Have a good one.
I'm going to go have some watermelon.